New Minds AI. Eure wöchentliche Dosis KI mit Jens und Max. Seid dabei, wenn wir die Zukunft erkunden.
So, Julia, very nice to have you on the show. Thanks for taking your probably very busy schedule off for our interview. So cool that you're here.
Hey, Jens. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here. This is great. Never too busy for a fun podcast, especially with you. So I'm very, very excited to be here.
Cool. Then let's get right into that. So, most people hopefully know HubSpot, what you're doing, what you're building. Also, I'm a huge fan of HubSpot since many, many years. I know where it can drive you. But what are you basically doing at HubSpot? And maybe in a quick summary, what brought you to HubSpot and what is the job there?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, maybe let's start with that one, because that would explain, I guess, also what I am doing at HubSpot. Yeah, and similar to you, I've been a long time customer and user of HubSpot prior to joining the company. So I've actually, many of the companies that I worked for have been using with HubSpot. I started early in my career, you know, building the landing pages, using the email templates, building the workflow. So that really made me a fan of the product. That is a starting point, right? I truly feel until this day that HubSpot makes it easier for marketers. It makes marketers' lives easier and more fun. So that was, for me, one of the main reasons when I made an agreement to myself. It was like, if there is a role at HubSpot that becomes available at an EMEA level, I will 100% apply to that role. So that's where that started. The second part as to why I joined the company is really about the culture. So, you know, you've been working with us for a while now as well. Every single person that I spoke to throughout my interview process, or people that I knew from, you know, previous careers, they all say the same thing about HubSpot. The people are truly authentic, and they live by the company values. So that was one of the reasons why it was a very easy decision for me to join the company. I joined in August 2023 as the Senior Director of Marketing for EMEA. And basically what I do is I lead the EMEA marketing team. And what that means is we work very closely with our cross-functional partners across sales, across customer success, and our customers directly to really build value for our customers. And that is what I like most about being in this part of marketing, is that you can be very close to the customer and drive valuable initiatives for them and activities. So that's what we're focused on with the team.
Very, very cool. I think joining a company because you're basically a user or a customer already is a really cool step. Maybe as you yourself also worked at HubSpot in a couple of years. With all the features, and I think what's really cool at HubSpot is that you're having this approach of not only thinking marketing, but also sales and marketing connectivity, and really try to build everything under one roof.
Yes.
And from my perspective, really helps to have more fun. Let's dive a little bit into the main topic of our podcast as well. So marketing, of course, I'm a huge marketing fan since I'm a marketing fan, but in marketing fields for quite a few years. And AI, of course, is a hot topic right now, also at HubSpot. You rolled out quite a few AI features. I think there's always, as in German, we say Luft nach oben, so plenty of opportunities there, what I see. But really cool to see AI kind of tackling the work of marketers, making life maybe even more easier than before. So from your perspective, from your top-level perspective, also from the EMEA point of view, how did you witness the last basically years, or from basically ChatGPT beginning when you guys launched ChatSpot very early on? How do you see AI and marketing developed over the last two and a half years?
Wow, that's a great question. I think first of all, for me personally, and I think for the team, but also prior to joining HubSpot at a different company, I think, you know, it's been an overall very exciting time. For many marketers, I think it's also been a challenging time, right? But it's, for me personally, I've really seen it as like an exciting challenge, so to speak. the playbook that many marketers have been using for many years, including myself, I guess was really up for some innovation. And when, you know, when AI kicked in, that whole need kind of accelerated, right? I mean, for years we have been doubling down on SEO, creating as much content as we possibly could to just drive traffic. And yeah, for many years it worked. I think especially now with AI overviews, we'll see that that strategy won't work anymore, right? We're going to have to go back to creating strong, expert-driven, opinionated content that offers a clear point of view and really differentiates yourself from all your competitors. And that's just one example, but I think is a great example of how we are challenged as marketers to hit reset and to do things differently. That is how I've experienced the last 2 years. At the same time, like, to be honest, it's also been a roller coaster, right? There have been so many updates, so many new tools, so many new topics that we addressed in the industry. When I was at an event last week, one of the questions I asked the audience was, you know, how many of there were about 200 people in the audience, and I asked them to raise their hand if they were overwhelmed with all of the AI talks, and everyone raised their hand, right? For a good reason, because it has been the number one topic that everyone talked about. So I think, you know, it has been a roller coaster, but also a very exciting challenge for me.
Do you think that it's fair that it's the number one reason? Do you think there's too much hype around that? Or do you think there's still a lot to do and it's worth it spending time on that?
I think it's, you know, with any of these big, big moments in time where we see a lot of transformation, I'd say there is a moment where it is a hype, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about it everywhere and people really surf that wave as well. I think the change that I expect to happen is that it will become an integrated part of our work. It will become an integrated part of our lives, and it won't be a separate topic anymore. I mean, how often do you still talk about your iPhone being your number one friend in life, right? Or, you know, at a certain point in time, the hype just softens and it just becomes part of everyone's day to day. And I do believe that AI will also go into that direction.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, if we look into what you guys do in, so for example, email marketing, maybe in a couple of years, this subject line that we know won't be a thing anymore because it will be automatically done by AI all the time. Maybe we don't have this by default. Maybe we don't have a subject field anymore because people don't need it anymore and it's always done by AI. So maybe, as I said before, I think it's part of our life. Just yesterday, I walked around with my smartphone and I had a conversation with ChatGPT with the advanced voice mode, learning new stuff that I wanted to dive into. And I just had to walk distance for 20 minutes. So I talked with an AI about stuff, and it felt like if someone from the outside listened to me, it would sound like I would talk to someone on the phone.
Exactly. Yeah. But it is used for such a wide variety of use cases, mm-hmm. right? I think I've heard someone else who recently asked ChatGPT to kind of be their buddy for the evening because they were home alone and they just wanted someone to talk to. For many people, like that is new, and I do think that the pace by which it will be adopted is completely different and it varies per person. But that is with any big technological shift that we've seen happening, right? So ultimately, I guess we'll all end up at the same place, which is we're all going to use it. It's all going to be part of our mm-hmm. lives. And we won't even think about it anymore because it's just such a standard, it's becoming a standard practice, right? But it will take some time before we get there. That's also what I do believe.
True. And one thing that I really liked that you mentioned in the beginning of your last answer was that marketers needed more, new innovation, something new. You had this SEO game, you had this content marketing game. In the last couple of years, everyone was basically sick and tired. Of course, there's a lot of things to do there. And now with AI, we have a tool that can basically, at a certain level, automate content creation, automate content marketing. Where do you see will this drive us? Do you think brand building in general will be more important? Do you think content creation will still be a big part? Where do you see will AI drive us?
100%. I think content marketing on its own and content creation will still play a a huge role. I do think that where we used to focus really on volume, I think we may start focusing on value or adding the value a little bit more, right? Like I said, if you want to stand out and if you want the traffic to still come to your website, if you want to have engagement on your social channels, you're going to have to create content that clearly offers a point of view, that offers expert-driven, opinionated context to it. And I think that is slightly different from what we've done in the past. That doesn't take away the fact that I still think it's going to be extremely important from a marketing perspective to focus on that.
And as HubSpot, how do you make sure that this priority of building a brand, building something unique, is still there while you're building tools that basically can automate blog posts, can automate white paper and case studies? How do you make sure that this stays? Will not be like the one-click solution for content marketing, but that you still provide a quality there?
100%. Yeah, that's a great question. And obviously a question that we get often. I think if you think about the solutions that we offer, and let's take Content Remix as one of the features, right? I come from a time where
can you explain Content Remix for those who don't know?
Yeah, okay. I will for sure. So I come from a time where, you know, creating a campaign would involve sitting in a room, because yes, back then you would still go to the office, sitting in a room, brainstorming about a topic, writing out the narrative. That would on its own only take like a week, 2 weeks, right? You would then go into planning phase. Someone would have to build a project plan. Someone would have to create the emails, build the workflows, write the emails. You would be like another month further down the line, right? Then you would have to translate and then localize it. And all of that cost a lot of time. It was also time that I feel like was taken away from time that you can actually spend on adding your real knowledge from a customer perspective. So spending time with customers to understand what is it that they're really after? What is it that they really need? What AI offers to do, and in the example of Content Remix, you can simply use one piece of content and with a couple of clicks, turn it into a multi-channel campaign. So you can, for example, take a blog post and with a couple of clicks, you can have ad copy, you can have email copy, you can have a landing page, you can have social media copy. So that is basically a 2.5 month process that has literally been just reduced to 3 minutes, right? Now, there's two ways you can spend that additional time, right? I like to say you can spend it on, you know, just sitting behind your desk and scrolling TikTok or drinking more coffee with your colleagues. It's an option. It's not really a wise idea. Or you can spend it by better understanding your audience and really being able to differentiate your strategy, your content from what your competitors are offering, right? So I think that is what AI and what, in this case, our solution has really offered to do, is to give more time for marketers to focus on clearly adding the value in their point of view to content or to campaigns.
I think it's really powerful. And if you made the comparison how long it took a couple of years ago. It's not like 20 years ago or something. It's like, just if you think about content creation 4 years ago, it's a totally different game. Yeah.
And many companies, don't be mistaken, like many companies in many industries still operate like that. Mm-hmm. You know, where we may think that everyone is, you know, on the curve or is ahead of it. They're not. Like, many companies are still in the orientation phase and haven't really started adjusting, right? Because it is change and it takes time and you need to adjust your systems, et cetera. But that is, I think, where most of the opportunity still sits for a lot of companies.
What you mentioned briefly, what do you think are the main reasons why companies maybe are not ahead of the curve, maybe a little bit scared what is happening? What is your feeling there? I mean, companies are different, of course, but...
Yeah, I think it's a combination of many factors, Jens, to be honest. We recently conducted a survey together with LinkedIn. If you want to read the report, anyone, it's called The Intersection of Marketing Data and AI. And within that, one of the positive things was that 93% of respondents actually report that their company is actively exploring or using AI solutions. So that on its own is great, right? They are... And that's across Europe. So people are really looking into solutions, or they're already using them. On the other hand, 3 out of 5 marketers also say that their team are still in the awareness phase and in the testing phase. And I think that's where the adoption, the adoption differences come in. I think while there are some marketers and marketing teams within maybe a certain set of industries who are well ahead and really understand it and have been able to incorporate it easily into their day-to-day work, there's many industries and companies that have not yet. And they see the importance that they have to start looking into it, but it just takes time. And I think there's a lot to that, right? There's the trust. How much do they trust the solution? Are they a little bit more reserved? Do they need more open communication about the how companies and solutions are sticking to the regulatory requirements? So there's a lot going on there that I think that is related to trust that we haven't really, we haven't really nailed yet as companies.
And I think it's always while you're in the process of doing something, it's always feels sometimes like an extra step if you want to understand an AI system, if you're including a new tool, if you're working on your prompt with ChatGPT. It maybe takes, I don't know, half an hour more than the actual task. And I think with you remarked as well, we always have a full plate. We always have to do much to do. It's always a new channel we can go to. And with I think the challenge is sometimes, do I spend half hour or 30 minutes more to set up a custom GPT, for example, that will maybe save me 3-4 hours or maybe 20 hours in the future? I think this is sometimes tricky in your own mindset.
Exactly. And I think with regards to the adoption as well, it is, it's a pretty hectic landscape out there. If I think about when I was young and I would go to, a store, have to, pick a gift, the options were, I wouldn't say that there was, there were few, but it was definitely more limited than today. If I bring my little girl to a store today to pick a gift, she freezes. She has like no idea. I'm not kidding. We often walk out of the store with nothing because she can't decide, mm-hmm. right? And I think it might be a little bit far stretched example here, but I think for a lot of people, they just don't know where to start. It's very hard to pick and choose what solution you start with when there's a new solution that pops up every single day, if not every single 12 hours, right? So it's something that I think also blocks a lot of people from knowing where to really kick off.
I can 100% agree with that. So also in the conversation I have with customers, it's where do I start? What do I pick first? ChatGPT, Gemini, or Claude? But in the end, I think, and this is where I believe tools like HubSpot make a great job, implement an AI where you used to work in the last couple of years anyway. So, you see it with Copilot, it's inside Google, it's inside Google Docs, it's in Word, in PowerPoint, etc. I think sticking to that and using the tools that you actually used as a marketer before, I think this is more important than jumping from one toy store to the other and getting confused.
Fully agree, yeah. And that's also why, again, such a big fan. I can't say because I was a customer of HubSpot and now I work there, but I'm such a big fan of the platform as well because AI is fully baked into the entire platform, right? Which basically means that as a marketer or as a salesperson, you don't have to leave the platform mm-hmm. in order to, to use AI. And I think that that's so incredibly important for businesses to be able to do that and for employees to be able to work that way. Otherwise, you're just overcomplicating their day-to-day. Which is exactly the opposite of what we're trying to achieve with this.
Definitely. I think this is the way it's leading anyway. So I think many smaller tools will have a hard time when the low-hanging fruit AI features will be inside any bigger tool that it's out there anyway.
Yes.
Looking a little bit in the future and on the process. So you mentioned the remix feature. So being able to change content instantly in a couple of minutes, really really cool feature, really powerful, really save a lot of time. What kind of other trends or maybe features or maybe benefits do you see in terms of AI in combination with marketing? That is popping up, that getting more and more useful, that also helps. I mean, this is basically the goal of marketing as well, helping providing better content to the customers.
Yeah, for sure. It's funny that you ask. I was at an event, and one of the questions they asked me is like, what is a specific chat, or what is an engagement strategy or tactic that you feel a lot of marketers are not using today and can be used thanks to AI? And one of the things that at least for me stands out, because maybe I've also said this in the past, is video marketing. I think for many marketers, there is still, when I speak to marketers, their answer with regards to video marketing is often, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't know where to start, it is too much work. You know, those are kind of like the four things that they share. I come from a time early, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, when you used to create a video for, and this is years ago, you'd spend, I don't know, 20K, 25K creating a video. You would have it localized in all languages. You would work on it for 4 months. You would add it to every single page on your website. And it was great. Everyone was applauding it. It was on every event that you went to. And it was marketing, right? That was amazing. It's basically what we did. That's no longer enough, right? If you take, for example, well, you know that as well. If you take social platforms as an example, you need to publish native video content regularly to each platform. So you can't rely on that old playbook anymore. You're going to have to change. And I think with AI, what a lot of marketers don't know is you can easily create video content without having to do all of the other steps that I just mentioned, right? HubSpot has a great integration with HeyGen, which allows for you to use a piece of content and turn that into a video. And then the other bad excuse that you often hear is, hey, that's great and all, but I don't have anyone that wants to be on a screen. I don't have anyone that wants to be that face. That's fine. You can also create a digital avatar of your likeness, right? So I think the possibilities there are endless. It's about starting to test, starting to try that and implement that as part of your strategy, because it is what customers are looking for. So while you may still see it as a hurdle, or you may not be ready to adopt it, customers are really in need of that. So I'd say video marketing is one of them specifically.
Yeah, good point. I mean, if you look at the pace that tools like HeyGen, for example, or Synthesia took over the last couple of months, years, it's incredible how easy it is to generate an AI avatar. But coming from you mentioned before, the trust is still a big thing also in using AI, but also on the customer side. When you look at AI avatars at, AI translation is another topic, but specifically HeyGen or something like that, how do you feel in terms of customer view is the trust on these kind of content formats? Because if, let's say I'm a big serious company and I want to do professional video marketing, professional content, so I have on the one side do the shortcut, do tools like HeyGen, which still looks a little bit AI-ish on the end, because technology is not that far that we have a video or a movie in one click, not yet. Do you think it's right now more like, let's play a little bit with that, lose it internally, or do you think it's already at a stage where companies really can have a benefit out of that, providing that without losing trust because, they're using just an AI avatar, so maybe we're not worth the time to invest into a real video?
Oof, that is a tough question, an interesting question. I'm going to challenge you a bit on that by asking, were you at Inbound this year?
Sadly, no, but it was at Grow.
You were at Grow. Okay. Did you see the video of Andy Petrie that was generated, right? Would you have known that was created with AI?
I personally would have known that, but... Okay. I think most of the people know, but because I used to work with HeyGen and other tools a lot, so I know what it looks like.
Okay, well, you know, I'd like to, then maybe my point is not coming across that much, but I'd like to say that the quality of those videos is becoming better each and every day, right? So that's a first. In terms of trust, it is basically the world that we're moving towards. So I think customers want to get their information quickly. They want to know, they basically want to explore a lot further themselves before they get in touch, I think, with an actual person or human being, right? And I think this allows for that to still be a personalized experience, but at their own pace. So I actually think that it will be adopted more easily, and it will ultimately gain more trust. It may take some time in terms of, like, you know, increasing the quality, et cetera. But I think the more you can offer those personalized experiences to customers, the higher the adoption will be, because that is ultimately what they have expressed and what they are expressing to want and see from their, from the brands that they want to potentially buy from.
Yeah, very good point. I get another tricky question that just came up. When we talk about trust and AI and videos, do you think, of course, there's not a right or wrong answer here, do you think brands should mention that they're using AI features, because you or AI avatars, for example, because at a certain point, okay, you can have a more personalized experience with AI features or AI avatars that get in touch with every step and every problem that you have, more personalized than ever before. On the other hand, it's not a real human interaction, but it looks like it's faking it. Do you think that brands should openly communicate that, or do you think it's just getting standardized and we can't trust any media anymore anyway, so it's just part of your regular life? Tricky question, I know.
Well, good to know up front that it's not a pass or fail question. Thank you, Jens, for giving me that level of confidence, at least. Look, this is me answering. Yeah. So this is Julia's opinion. This is not representing of potentially a company or companies in the industry. But in my opinion, I think transparency lasts longest. And I do believe that while we are still maybe in the early stages of adopting for AI, I think you're better mentioning it than not. That would be my guess, because I truly feel that that is something that maybe people need. Will that be the case forever? I don't know. Perhaps. But I don't know if that is, you know, do you indicate it for the content that you read?
Yeah, true.
I think, like, when it comes to video or imagery, there's, of course, a portion in there where you need to be careful, because you want the world to see an honest picture of the reality as well, right? You don't want to frame everything into something that is just perfect, right? So in that sense, like, being able to share that you are, you know, that you are using AI to optimize and to scale, et cetera, your video programs, I don't think it's a bad thing. But hey, that's my opinion. I'm not saying that is the answer.
No, I think it's.
What's your answer?
Okay, that's a good one. I believe it will be just a standard way of communicating and marketing, and since the adoption will be easier than ever. So, I mean, you guys in with HubSpot do it already with an integration with HeyGen, other tools to follow. Maybe you will have a PowerPoint integration with AI avatars that will present it right away, that you, or a Zoom integration whatsoever. So I think the adoption will be so easy that I believe only like a regulation or something can force some kind of transparency, because, I mean, we're lazy. We don't like to spend too much time on stuff that we can get done quickly. So if you have, as a marketer, one-click integration into, hey, do you want to roll out the whole content as an AI avatar, yes or no, and you click yes, you're doing that properly. And then I think it's part of the software, of the regulation, of the basically policy that we're working for, if there is a transparency or not. I think this is where it could lead to. But I see it's, yeah, as exciting as I see it, I also see, like, half of it really scary and
It is. And I was fascinated. I think it's like, I'm saying a couple of months, but my time may be off here, maybe longer than a couple of months ago. I still watch television every now and then. Surprise, surprise. Wow. I don't think many people do, but I do. And there was an advertisement on the TV that was regarding a specific brand, which I won't mention, but they had a dedicated ad towards, they normally always use humans within their ads, and they had a dedicated ad, which actually was pretty long, I guess pretty expensive, where they indicated as well, we will never use AI generated models in any of our campaigns, which when I saw that, I thought, wow, great statement. But then also like, oof, how can you say that when you don't really know what the future will hold, right? You don't know to what extent you'll be able to stick to that. And it's a pretty big statement to make. So anyways, I thought that was a, it was an interesting one to really like put a campaign live specifically for that message. But yeah.
I think I think in all the AI fields, if you say something like they include never or something, it's hard to put it off for that long. But maybe maybe in the future, human content will have a bigger role or more trust. So maybe human content will be the content that will be like noted down, or that you have a little stamp there. This is 100% human made.
Who knows? Who knows, Jens? We can't look in the future, unfortunately.
Sadly, no.
We'd love.
But what we can look a little bit above or around the globe and into other countries as well, because of course you're not only working in one company or in one country, you're covering many different countries. And coming from an also marketing trends, maybe innovation, maybe also AI perspective, do you see maybe different challenges, maybe also different ways of adopting new technology around EMEA?
Yeah, I think not different from what I've seen in the past with any other big technological shifts, right? I think EMEA consists of many different large markets, countries, whom each of those have similarities, but they also have their own local nuances and ways of adopting, right? Some are more mature or digitally mature when it comes to technology as opposed to other markets. That is something that has been the same for many, many years. And I don't see that change when it comes to AI. In fact, you actually see a similar trend, right? So some markets, one of the markets, and that's not because I'm based in the Netherlands, but the Benelux came out, one of the research that we did with LinkedIn is one of the regions that is adopting and using AI within their strategies as almost like a front runner, right? Across the regions that we interviewed. So, and that is something that is not much different from earlier technological advancements that we've seen or shifts that we've seen happening. So yes, there are differences. Are they much different compared to previous big shifts that we've seen? I'd say no.
Good point. I think it's harder to look back in the past and see how the big trends or the big innovations change something than we always like in the here and now. That's really good to hear. And how do you feel how big of a part plays like the AI Act, data regulations, this whole law and policy thing in the adoption in the markets that you're covering?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an expert when it comes to data regulation in that sense. So I wouldn't be able, I need to say that up front and be fully transparent. But yes, of course, it plays a role. But again, that also played a role in the other shifts that we've seen, right? So especially with AI, it is being able to clearly articulate how you deal with that as a company, how you stick to the regulations, and being transparent about that with your customers or your potential customers is extremely important to really get their trust, gain their trust, and deliver on that too, right? So I think it comes back to building a relationship based on trust, and that trust comes with having transparency around also these topics, which are in some countries, some specific countries in EMEA, definitely one of the most important things that they will look at before buying a solution. So you need to be on your toes there, and you need to make sure that you can answer those questions. And if you do that, the adoption will definitely go faster than when you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the feeling, I mean, I can only speak for Germany here, that sometimes in Germany, we maybe a little bit too scared to don't do like the 100% solution. So we rather avoid something, avoid a technology, avoid a trend, avoid innovation, then maybe having the risk to fail and maybe try something mm-hmm. out, play around with that, and be bold, be brave at a certain point. Do you see this in other countries as well, or is it just a German thing that we're so super careful at it feels sometimes?
No, as I mentioned, like I definitely think that there's overlaps within certain countries more than there is with other countries. But it comes back to like the cultural nuances that you see within each of those markets, right? And there's been I don't have to tell you, but there's been a ton of research that they've done around that as well, right? And you really see that come through, especially in these, you know, in these big shifts that we're going through right now. There are definitely similarities with markets. But no major things that stand out to me. Like Germany, as you mentioned, definitely is a market where we know that is important. We also know that Germany is extremely, you know, extremely vocal and is extremely attentive when it comes to GDPR, right? Mm-hmm. These are things that you always take into account. And AI and the shift of AI has not changed that. It has just been an additional thing to take into account when speaking to a German customer, and to cater your message to the audience that you are, you know, that you're speaking to at all times. And that is also what I like most about working in EMEA, right? It's not one country. Mm-hmm. You know, you're dealing with smaller countries, regional nuances. And while you can focus on one overarching message, you need to tailor it to the people that you're ultimately working with within a specific region. And you are adjusting your approach to Germany compared to France. And France compared to the UK. Mm. And that is what makes it so nice.
In your kind of markets that you're overlooking, do you have one like hidden, I wouldn't say hidden player, but one hidden champion maybe in terms of countries where you say people don't really have this kind of country on the map when it comes to innovation, but they should have? Is it like...
Well, honestly, I'm not. When we launched the research with LinkedIn, I do think people were slightly surprised to see the Benelux as standing out from like an adoption point of view. And again, that is AI for now, but we've seen that in the past too. So for me, given that I'm based here, I tend to like, for me, that is a known, is a given, right? So I wasn't surprised, but I think for many markets around Europe, that may actually be a bit of a surprise. So I think I would say maybe the Benelux market in terms of adoption, yes.
I have to say over the last couple of years, especially the Netherlands was always, for me personally, a country with a high adoption rates, with maybe also because of this smaller population, easier to try something out, to build something, and I think also I'm not sure if I'm 100% correct, but I think Netherlands is also one of the top countries for LinkedIn for their audience because the adoption rate is so high, and they're so really, really cool to see that. And as a neighbor,
yeah, I don't know those numbers from LinkedIn by heart, but yeah, I've seen a similar trend. Like you see adoption is quite, maybe it's because we're a smaller country and, you know, more easily test, and, you know, and change and learn things. But, I don't know if that is a known fact for everyone, in the region. So to answer your question, I think that one would definitely stand out to me as a market where, yeah, it stands out in terms of adoption.
Cool. Let's get a little bit more into maybe the, calling the future is a little bit tricky, but maybe also in a maybe broader perspective. So you mentioned when you talk about HubSpot, you mentioned a platform. So it's not like a CRM only. It's not only a sales tool. It's like a whole platform. From your wildest fantasies, where would you say if you could just build any AI integration, any supercomputer that you would love to, that will do something, where do you see in AI or a platform like HubSpot, a CRM system, in a couple of years? So,
wow,
very wild predictions, but do you think everything can be or should be automated? So do you think maybe a one-to-one hyper-personalization will be part that your email will not only have the different text blocks, but will highly optimize on your history, your LinkedIn profile, everything that you did online, every photo that you posted ever online. Do you think this would be something you're looking for?
Wow, you're asking me to predict the future here. So I'm not sure if I can comment on that. And again, need to state here that this would be my, you're asking me sure. as a HubSpot
user, you're the guest
what, here. My, what my ideal view would be. And this is not at all something that I'm not speaking on behalf of the product roadmap here. But look, I think if I look at the ideal world, I think a lot of it of what HubSpot is doing today fits within that ideal world, right? We are making the lives of sales, marketers, service, and success teams a lot easier by having them focus on their actual job. One of the stats that we had was sales spends about 2 hours per day actually selling. The rest of their time is spent on administrative work, you know, adding data, finding data, sourcing information about contacts prior to having a meeting with them. By having that enabled within the platform, AI can do a lot of that job for salespersons, right? Which just gives them a lot of time to focus on that actual job. Same for marketing, right? As I mentioned with Content Remix, as an example, the fact that we are now able to create a multi-channel campaign within instances completely changes the playing field. Marketers who sit in small teams, you know, growth for marketers used to be follow a linear pattern. It was fully dependent on budget and headcount. The more budget, the more headcount, the more growth you could realize for your organization. Today, small companies can actually go to market maybe at the same pace as large organizations do. So that to me is fascinating. And I think it's something, again, that our platform really offers for service organizations as well, being able to have all your data in one place, summarize tickets and previous conversations to understand who the customer is, what they're really looking for, what their preferences are, and being able to cater your outreach and your engagement strategy to that is great. Having all of those under one roof means that you can have a very consistent, strong journey and customer experience across the entire platform, from marketing, from the beginning awareness stage to ultimately customers becoming or prospects becoming customers and staying with you, right? So I think that is what the platform offers today. And I think it's something that it will continue to offer. What that will look like from a technological point of view, how that will, you know, go beyond what we have today is something that's hard for me to predict. What I want is as a marketer, having everything automated from A to Z, why not? Like, it's great. Having one-to-one personalization, which, by the way, is already possible today, I think, yes. How many times I still receive emails where it says, hey, Mr. Pilkas, or hey, Pilkas, great to see that you work in sales. No, I don't work in sales. I work in marketing, but fine. You know, like, I think there is a lot of opportunity for businesses to, you know, fix their foundation and then accelerate on one-to-one personalization with what we have today. So that's where a lot of the time I think should go in the future.
How urgent and how important do you think fixing the foundation is still a topic? Because I see a lot of companies jumping on AI. But if you look under the roof, you see, okay, CRM is doing Excel, marketing is doing on spreadsheets. Maybe don't use the AI yet, maybe build a foundation. What is your point on that?
My point of view is that I do really think that it's important to invest in the foundation 100%, but it all comes with having a very clear strategy in place for what do you want to achieve, right? I think many organizations started using AI without really understanding what they wanted to achieve with it. And I think that's fine because, again, you're at a point where you want to start testing and start learning. Now, I also believe that that has led to maybe a landscape where companies currently have tools all over the place. And they constantly, while they have maybe earned a lot of time back by creating content using AI, they are now constantly hopping between different systems, which is chaotic and causes them to lose the time that they actually earn back, right? So I think being able to fix the foundation, finding maybe a platform or a solution that offers to do everything under the same roof, I would say is a big win. Mm. And clearly identify, take a step back, you know, clearly identify what it is that you want to achieve. For example, are there specific pockets in your business where you're spending a ton of time right now, where you can reduce time spent on manual work? How can AI come into play there? And then define what are the best solutions? Do those solutions fit in within our current tech stack? Is our current tech stack still the right tech stack? You know, those are all questions that I think it all comes back to the fundament of your overall strategy, your data strategy, that I think is crucial in order to thrive with AI.
Yeah, but I think with all the new tools, new technologies, new landing pages, new demo videos here, it's hard for marketers as well to have like this clear direction you're aiming for. I think it won't get easier. I have a tricky question for the end. Not too much. A little bit about prediction again, but just from your point of view. So you mentioned before, as a marketer, I would love to having everything automated from one to Z, personalized emails, very precise with the right gender and stuff like that, and even a step further. What would your opinion be on the kind of skills that a marketer need in the future? Because let's spin the idea a little bit further. I have a platform whatsoever. I have a brand. I have a product. Maybe I have an e-commerce. I have a completely automated sales cycle. The sales agent is an AI avatar. The emails, of course, are personalized, written by AI. What do you think is the role as a marketer in the future, if you don't need a person who writes emails anymore, who maybe even don't need to make sales? Ad copies are written by AI. Can the systems can store more data, more performance data? What skills should marketers be focusing on in the future?
Wow, you really know how to end with the trickiest question, Jens. no, it's a great question. It's a question that we discuss a lot, and that I, even with my friends, discuss a lot. Look, I think short term, one of the things that we keep saying is, and I love that Dharmesh actually said that AI will take your job, but it will give you a better one in return. And I truly believe that. I don't think AI right now is at a point where it still needs a human touch, 100%. Like, you need what I said, like, you can create great copy, but you still need to add your own point of view. You need to make it potentially add expert point of view to that, or opinionate, make it more opinionated, right? I don't think AI currently is at a point where it can do that for you. Does that mean that marketers can sit still and not change? No. I think if you are still, at this point, you have no idea about AI, I'd say, you know, you really need to to get moving, and quickly. But I don't think having people completely removed from a content focus will disappear. I think if anything, it will continue to be, at least for the coming years, extremely important to have clear knowledge about your customer, because you need to add that differentiation component to it. What it will look like afterwards depends on how fast the adoption goes as well. Right now, in the research that we did with LinkedIn, it appeared that there's, within many countries, and we see that there's a gap between, yeah, in skill sets on using AI and being able to implement AI. So the sooner you start, the sooner you understand and are able to really help organizations build out their AI strategy further, from potentially a marketing perspective, if we're talking about marketing here, you'll have a pretty good, let's call it USP as a marketer. What it will look like beyond that, I mean, I couldn't tell you. I don't know. Like, I honestly, at this point in time, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I'd like to believe that we're continuing on this trend for longer than we think. But hey, that's my opinion. I don't know.
I think marketers have one skill in common, many of them, and this is curiosity. And I think this really helps us, yes, as a marketer to maybe at a certain level keep up the pace, and don't be obsolete in a year or so. And I think, as you said before, it's hard to see what the future brings us. But I think
Yeah. And I think like, I think we shouldn't be mistaken that as much as, you know, AI may automate, you know, I don't know, who knows at a certain point of that everything, right? People still want human to human connection. They still want to speak to other customers. They want to speak to other experts in the industry. So as a marketer, being able to offer that value to a customer, whether it's through an event or whether it's through a specific meetup or a small scale, like I think that will become increasingly important in the coming years, more important than.
So maybe this is like a perfect ending for a podcast like this. Maybe the human touch in the end will gain more value because the things that can be automated and don't provide much value but still take a lot of time of marketers can be automated in the future. And so we meet up more, we talk to each other a bit more, but more about stuff that matters, and having beer together or something like that will be important.
Let's end it on a positive note here. Yes. Yeah. I think that's a great way to finish this conversation. I truly believe it. Like, I think the human connection will be incredibly important.
Perfect. I think there's no better way to end this. Well, Julia, thanks a lot for your time, for all the answers, for all the wild predictions from your point of view, from the insights of HubSpot, what you did there, what is your thought on that. Had a really cool time. Thanks for your time. I think everyone will have a blast listening to the show. And I hope to maybe we'll catch up in a year or so and see where, or 5 years or something, and see where AI took us.
Let's do that. Maybe I'm not sure if you and I will still be on here though. Maybe sure. It will be our avatar speaking for us. No, thanks, Jens. It was lovely being here. Thank you very much for your invitation. And let's continue the conversation.
Perfect. Thank you a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.